Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. My name is Melitza and I'm your host. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours that we have. You have young children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 63. Thanks for listening to the show today. If you're new here, welcome. And hi to the regular playmates that hang out each week. Plenty of room by the cooking table over here. Last podcast, Sue Gascoigne of playtoz.co.uk shared some tips on simple sensory play activities and how we develop our role to be the facilitator of sensory play. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show is an interview with Zoe Toft of playingbythebook.net, all about audio book recommendations that you can find online, you can buy, you can pay for them, and ones that are free to download. I love to hear about your experiences with your tots via Twitter, via Facebook, or if you fancy leaving a comment on the site. Or you can drop me a line at melitza@raisingplayfultots.com, and Melitza is spelt M-E-L-I-T-S-A. I almost split this interview in half, but it's best sampled all together. This show is therefore a little longer than usual, and after the interview, the show will end instead of the usual additions. You can, however, find Zoe's recommendations for in the show notes for this episode at raisingplayfultots.com/63. Stay tuned, you're in for a treat. I'll be right back after this short break with the interview.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
This forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Today I'm talking to Zoe Toft of playingbythebook.net. She's all about literacy and the mother of two little ones. Zoe's popular book review blog features play activities and art inspired by books, and sometimes it's the other way around. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's lovely to be online with you.
I wanted to talk about audiobooks, and knowing your love for books, I knew that you would have some great ideas and resources about how we can use audio with our little ones. Let's have a look at audiobooks that you love.
Most of the audiobooks I listen to at the moment are children's literature, ones that my kids have on, that we have on when we're doing things together, like doing our crafting or art. Ones that are particularly popular at the moment are The Crest of the Cow, How to Train Your Dragon series, that are done brilliantly by David Tennant of Doctor Who fame. I can't recommend them enough. He does them so well, and they're great stories. Roald Dahl, of course, is very popular today. We've had on Matilda and the BFG this morning at about 6:30. It was put on. That's what I woke up to through the wall. We've got a collection that's very popular with my younger daughter, who's nearly three, of the Gruffalo and other Julia Donaldson stories. They work very well. They've got some nice music in them, which I think always works really well, particularly with the younger crowd. And then there are all the old favourites, like the Laura Ingalls Wilder books and C.S. Lewis books, the Narnia books. I've got them on audiobooks, and they're ones that are returned to time and time again, I have to say.
With the audiobooks, with the longer version ones, do you just let them run all the way through to different chapters, or do you tend to pause them as you go along?
I tend to have no control. It's a kid who decides what they're doing. I mean, obviously, if it's supper time or something, but the way we use audiobooks tends to be where some people might listen to music. So, like, as I say, if we're playing as a family, we might have an audiobook on in the background. Or if the kids are playing up in their rooms, they'll nearly always have an audiobook on if they're not listening to some music. So they decide how much they, you know, when to put it on, when to stop it. The pause button gets used a lot. Yeah, so it's not something that I say, okay, we can have one chapter now. Although I do often have to peel them away and, you know, they don't want to stop listening. They get very annoyed with me when I say that.
So where are some good places to find audiobooks online that you've liked?
Well, I have to say, we don't buy that many audiobooks, and whether that's online or not, I mean, most of our audiobooks we get from the library, and so we're borrowing physical copies. If we're online, sometimes I do choose some online, but, for example, I've never used Audible, which is one of the most popular sites for downloading, for paying to download audiobooks. But I listen with the kids to quite a lot of drama on radio. Now, BBC Radio has some great children's drama. They've just started a new slot on Sunday afternoons from 4 till 5. Every Sunday afternoon, 4 till 5, is a drama, a dramatisation of a children's book. So last week they had Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. This coming week they've got an Alan Garner book, the first part of, and also the first part of The Wizard of Oz. I believe later this month they've got The Silver Sword. So that's a really nice slot to listen to. And that's true. The only problem is they're not available as podcasts, so you can listen to them again online via the computer, for example, but you can't download them, which is a real shame. There are some sites I use where you can download free audiobooks. A place that's quite good if you want fairy stories or traditional stories like Grimm's or Hans Christian Andersen is a site called LibriVox, LibriVox, LibriVox. A site whereby members of the public can record versions of copyright-free literature, so stories that are no longer in copyright, then those recordings are made freely available to the public. Now, they haven't got vast amounts for children, but they do have, that's a place to go for, as I say, fairy stories if you're wanting to download for free, that sort of thing. Another site that we quite like, which is very different from LibriVox in that it's a British site, LibriVox, all the recordings tend to be American voices. Story Nori is a site in Britain where you can download lots of free fairy stories, and they're fun. What I like about Story Nori is that the podcasts are much more in a storytelling style. So although there's a story that you'll know, Sleeping Beauty, for example, rather than it being read as off the pages of a book, it's told as if you're listening to a real storyteller. So that's quite a different approach, which I really like it. There's lots of radio available to listen online. Somebody quite recently pointed me to Radio New Zealand, and they've got an excellent children's audio section where you can download a lot of drama that they've done on Radio New Zealand. So I've just started working my way through that with the kids. Another site that is just building up, but I think it's going to prove to be really a good site, is the Guardian newspaper has just got a new dedicated children's book site online, and they have an audio section, and it's not so much whole stories, but shorter excerpts of authors either talking about their works or reading short excerpts. So at the moment up there, there's some Michael Rosen reading some of his new book, The Big Book of Bad Things. They've also got some Ted Hughes reading some of his own children's poems. That's quite nice because it's just a few minutes, and so it's very easy to dip in and dip out of, and it's free.
And is that guardian.co.uk?
Certainly, if you go to guardian.co.uk and then you click on culture. As I said, I don't actually buy that much to download. Others might be better placed to tell you whether that's how reliable Audible they find Audible. I don't know. Do you use it?
No, I haven't used Audible. I've given it as presents to other people to use, for adults and for children, because I feel that they make really good presents, especially when, you know, my family's all spread out around the world. It's a really nice way to be able to support them with their audio book reading. And so I've been able to do that, especially when I couldn't find something, a hard copy book that I could send. So that's been nice that I've just been able to say, here, choose a book.
that seems great, yeah.
So it was just like, I've used it more as another avenue for a present to do. The audio stories that I've liked recently are Smories. Have you heard of Smories?
No, I don't know Smories.
Smories are a really interesting site. They have video of children themselves, young children, so I would say 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 maybe, and they are actually reading stories on video, and you can see them on video, and it's Smories at smories.com, and they've got a huge library of children reading stories. And I think they're made-up stories, so you can submit stories and then the children will read them out.
Yeah.
And so you've got children of all ages that are, you know, practicing on camera. And
I see how great that is for developing storytelling skills in your child. You know, if they enjoy telling stories and to give them a sense of authorship and stuff, I can imagine that works really well.
Yes, and especially the expression, because I remember giving, you know, one of the children, my oldest, actually saying, yeah, you should do one of these, trying to encourage him. And he was looking at me, he was like, wow, she's really good. He was really impressed because he could see that she was, you know, a similar age to him is what he thought. She's like, oh, she could be in my class. And then he was really good at this story. And he couldn't work out, you know, auto cue or how she was reading it. I think he thought that it was all off by heart, you know.
Oh, well, I look forward. I'll definitely explore that later on. It looks good.
Oh, sure. Today I'm talking to Zoe Toft. You can find her on Twitter at PlayByTheBook, where she shares links about books and play and loves to have conversations with you about books and poems. Let's have a look at your site, playingbythebook.net, and it tell us about your love of books and your story, how you got it started.
I did have a background in e-learning. Before my eldest was born, my job was actually supporting university lecturers with e-learning. So I had a technical background, not so much in blogging, but in all sorts of internet-based teaching tools. So I already had a bit of a background, if you like, that way. And then when my eldest was born, to be honest, I was a bit at a loss of what to do with a young baby, how to play with my new young baby, because I'd always been very academic, and books gave me the way in to have fun with her, to sit and be able to spend time with her, where I wasn't just looking at her thinking, oh crikey, what do I do with this bundle of energy?
And so
that's when I started really reading lots and lots. And as she grew up and became a toddler and started going to nursery, there was this running joke that every day when she turned up at nursery, she wouldn't answer to her given name. She was always telling the staff at the nursery that she was somebody from a book that she'd been reading at home with me. So, you know, she was Flopsy from the Beatrix Potter stories, or she was gosh, I'm trying to think now of somebody else, but any character from the book that we'd been reading, that's who she was that day, and she was never, who, you know, the name I used for her.
Yes, yeah.
And she was clearly really taken by this idea that she could reinvent herself, she could do all sorts of different things, she could suddenly have the superpowers that the characters in the books had, or have the adventures that they were having. I loved that. I was just, you know, I fell in love with that imagination she had. From that, I thought, oh, well, maybe I should document this, because I've got a terrible memory. I've always had a terrible memory. I wanted to somehow remember all the fun things we were doing, because as she was getting bigger, you know, 3, 4, 5, she was becoming more interested in really actually playing out the book, which is, you know, where the name for the blog eventually came from. And then her sister came along, and it's just, you know, sort of continued from there. Now, so much of our play is inspired by what we read, you know, either directly or indirectly. And she still is very much, you know, she'll wake up and she'll decide, today I am X out of the story. Her favourite thing at the moment, she wants to be Mary from the Laura Ingalls Wilder books. I found it quite interesting that she wants to be Mary, not Laura, but she does want to be Mary. I always wanted to be Laura, not Mary. But, and then I have to be Ma, and we have to, you know, play along the game for a little bit. But that's lovely. So that's how it came about. And then also, just for me, blogging became a way as a mum who I, you know, we've lived in two, three different cities since my eldest was born. She's 6 now. So I was moving around. I didn't have a community. I didn't have family nearby. And blogging provided that sort of social network to and friendship and sense of community that I didn't have where I, you know, was living, because I had only been there for relatively short amount.
Yes. Now I completely understand how you can get to that place, you know, where you want to share what you have, because it's just so much fun in your own home. You're having so much fun with it that you want to share it with other people. And I mean, as I look on your website, I can see that you have a huge category list of choices, along with a really long list of author reviews. So it just makes really difficult for people like me that come to your site, because we get stuck there looking through all of these things that are great.
Well, the normal complaint I get is that I cost people money, because they come onto my site and then they go away and they end up spending lots of money on some, you know, I won't name them, but you can imagine, an online bookstore.
Yes.
I've had, particularly just because one of my most recent posts was about 50 picture books that were chosen by 6 authors and illustrators that I love, contributed each 10 of their own favourite books that they thought every child should be read. And so I've got a list there of 50 brilliant books, and I've had so many emails saying, oh no, you have just drained my bank balance. And, you know, I'm sorry, but the same happens to me, you know. If only I was making money out of it. I think in the whole time I've been doing this blog, I've raised, I think my latest statement was £11.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yes, we don't do it for the money. We understand, but I've found that link that you were talking about, 50 plus picture books every child should be read, a non-prescriptive list for inspiration, and that was published on the 1st of April 2011. So if people want to come and actually view that list, they'll have a whole range of books that you have there, and you've set that post out really well. We can actually see the book covers, and you've got a little bit about each book as well. So,
well, what I really liked about that is, you know, through blogging, I've started building up links with authors and illustrators, and for me, it's marvelous. You know, they're people that I admire, that I know through their books, and then I've got to meet them in a virtual sense and interview them in some cases, and so. For example, some of those books on that list were recommended by Jan Pinkowski, who was a childhood hero of mine because he wrote all the Megan Mogg books, which I grew up with.
Yes, oh my goodness.
Yeah, and you know, now through the blog, I've interviewed him and I've, you know, met him online and we've exchanged emails, and now to have him contributing to my blog, you know, I can't believe it. It's
yes,
tremendous. and then there's some other illustrators. There are two that I would particularly recommend, Katie Clemenson and Vivian Schwartz. They've both just recently won an award given out by Book Trust. I don't know if you know them. They are the people behind who give out the free books to children at birth and at three when they start nursery. And just, was it 2 weeks ago now, they announced the best new illustrators of 2011, and Katie and Vivian were two of those that were announced, and they're very talented, very funny, beautiful illustrations, and so to have them contribute as well was just brilliant.
No, it is a really good list, and I think one thing that I've learned, that when you live in different places, you recognise that you know your authors from the way you read books.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, Meg and Mark were a staple that I grew up with, but then when I was living in the States...
I don't think they're known in the States. Oh, barely.
Yeah, there's a lot of books that they just don't know, and then, of course, it was the other way around. They would say to me, oh, you must know this book, and they'd list all these books, and I was always like, no.
Well, what's really funny is I've definitely found that I've got a bit of a niche in that... You know, the blogging community is definitely dominated by American bloggers simply because, you know, of the population, but also America somewhere that's very quick on adapting to the new technologies. But, and so book bloggers are mostly from the US, and so they identify and focus on books that aren't necessarily known over here by authors that aren't necessarily known, and vice versa. I know when they come to my blog, they're finding things that aren't as popular or aren't as widely distributed in the US. So it's quite nice to be able to bring something a bit different, complementary that way.
Yes, well, when I was in the States, what I found also is that you could order books from the library just as we can order them here in the UK, and they would come. So, it, like you said, it's just that they weren't known or popular.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you don't know Michael Rosen, then you can't try and find any of his books, or,
no.
You know, Alan Albert.
Michael Rosen's an especially good one to choose, because there is an American Michael Rosen who is well-regarded, but who is also a poet.
Oh.
And a children's poet at that, but he's a completely different Michael Rosen.
Yeah, it's very different, but I think it's really nice to have, you know, straddled at least both sides and know.
Oh, absolutely, and I feel that very much because we're a bilingual family. I've got that within the family as well, so I have this whole other window on children's literature and culture surrounding children's books from the Netherlands. And that gives me a broader perspective and awareness of, you know, what's different and what travels and what doesn't travel. And I love that.
Yes, I've been noticing that you've been doing a lot more, or maybe it's just a lot of books from European countries and places from around the world. And I really like that perspective that you've taken a worldwide view of reading and books, because, you know, it reflects on the children that we have and the amount of books that are out there. You're not rehashing and repeating all the books that we know and love. You're sharing with us.
That's very much a sort of an editorial decision for this year on the blog. I wanted to have some overarching theme, if you like, for 2011, and that is, and you know, continues to be, picture books and translation from languages other than English. Because I felt, you know, there's so much out there that we don't in the UK or the US hear about, but that is brilliant and amazing and beautiful. Yes, I've started, so far I've travelled through most of the Nordic countries, and I shall be moving on then to the sort of Germanic countries, or Germany, Austria, Netherlands are hopefully coming up. Starting at the end of this month, because next week I'm going to the London Book Fair, so that's all my energies are focused on that at the moment. And once I come back from that, I shall continue on my virtual travels through children's picture books.
Great. Well, that was Reading Round Europe, and you've also done the International Postcard Swap for Families. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I certainly can, not least because I shall be doing it again in May. This is a project that I did last year whereby I invited families all over the world to sign up and send postcards to other families all over the world. So every family got 5 families to send postcards to. And the idea was that you shared your favourite book or books. And so people were able to use this as an opportunity to learn about geography because I arranged it so that you got 5, you got to send 5 postcards to 5 different countries and you received 5 different postcards from 5 different countries. So actually we still have our world map up in the kitchen with all the flags on from all the different countries that we sent postcards to and received postcards from. As well as the sort of the opportunity to learn about geography and then cultures, it was also about sharing books that you loved and giving people other ideas of books to go and look for. So that worked really well, and as I say, in May I shall be running that again. So you're more than welcome to sign up. Last year we had, I think it was about 250 families sign up. From all over the world, from places I have to admit I hadn't even heard of before, you know, little islands in the middle of the Pacific. I have to say my American geography got an awful lot better doing it as well. I'm looking forward to doing that again and encouraging people to spread their love of books.
Excellent. No, it was perfect. I remember seeing a lot of information about that, people saying, I'm signing up for and I'm going to do it this year. And so I'm really excited that it's going to be in May. Let's talk a little bit more now about Perfect Picture Books by Post.
Well, that was another project all about sort of sharing and spreading the love of books, but this was much more aimed at families who wanted to take a bit of a risk and swap a book they thought was absolutely gorgeous with somebody else in another country for a book from their country, so it may or may not have been translated. So I had to pair up families that were A, willing to spend the money, because this was obviously a bit more of a pricey project than just sending the postcards. And then actually what I found is that as well as getting families, I was getting book professionals, if you like, signing up for that, people who just, you know, love or collect children's books, swapping books that they thought were particularly beautiful or well-produced or somehow special from their home country, and in return they received one from their partner family or partner person. And that was lovely. So many beautiful books were sent. I mean, that one cost me a lot of money because I kept seeing what other people were sending and I was saying, oh! And it really opened my eyes because it was an international swap and the whole idea was about creating an awareness that there's so much more than the old regulars that you know about. And I just discovered so many good books through that. And I'm hoping to run that again, but we'll have to see. That's a bit too far in the future. I haven't planned past May yet.
No, I completely understand. You've got a full plate with all of the things that you've listed. Is there anything else that you wanted to share with us today about audio?
I've just been thinking a little bit about why I think audiobooks are so great, because I've been on Twitter with a few people saying that they don't really enjoy them or they don't use them much, and I was trying to tease out a bit why, because I honestly think they are godsend. I think they're brilliant, and so I wanted to sort of argue a little bit of the case as to why I think audiobooks are so so good. At least in our family they work so well, and so I was just going to highlight some of those. So I wanted to say we find audiobooks are great for listening to poetry. I know when I'm reading books out to children, to my kids, I find it quite hard if it's a poetry book. I mean, I don't feel so confident reading out the poetry. But if I get an audio book of poems, often they're read by the poet who wrote them, and then they're brilliant. You know, so for example, you've mentioned Michael Rosen already. His audio books of his poetry is, they're just fantastic. Another one we really like is called Walking with My Iguana by Brian Moses. Then there's one that we listened to that was actually, I think, made for adults, The Nation's Favourite Comic Poems, which again is very popular with the girls. And so I found audiobooks have been able to give them a grounding in poetry that I couldn't have done myself because of not feeling so comfortable. My eldest, one of her favourite audiobooks at the moment is Hiawatha, just because I happen to have found a good recording, and you suddenly realise that yes, the language is quite well. I wouldn't have thought a 6-year-old would enjoy it, let's put it that way. She's got really into it, and that was very nice to see on that 50 plus picture book post that we were talking about earlier on. Jan Pinkowski listed The Rime of the Ancient Mariner.
Yeah.
And again, when I first saw that, I thought, you know, really, for kids? But then I was thinking, well, actually, I can imagine, if you've got a good recording, like ours of Hiawatha, kids will get into it, because it's got the rhythm, it's got the drama, you know, it's got the narrative that will suck people in. This is now touching on another reason why I think audiobooks are so great, is that they really extend your kids' literacy. Because they can listen to a book that is way above their reading level, if you like, but also they can listen to a book over and over and over and over again, so they really pick up words and phrases. At least that's how I've experienced it with my kids. Not that I'm particularly trying to get them to be super literate at 6 or 7, but, you know, they love having those phrases at their fingertips and, you know, the power that comes from having the words, if you like. And also they can simply get through so many books, they can enjoy so many more books, because whereas with the girls, you know, it might take me, now that I'm reading chapter books with my eldest, it might take me 2 or 3 weeks to finish a book with her. If we get a new audio book from the library, she can have read it, so to say, listened to it, in 2 or 3 days. And so when she's on a roll, like with the Narnia books, and she just wanted to, you know, devour them, she was really eager, she could do that. Whereas I couldn't devote 8 hours a day to reading C.S. Lewis, as much as I would have loved to, but, you know, it wasn't an option. So that's another great thing about them for us, in that they, both my kids can have them at the pace that suits them, which is often much faster than I can provide if I were reading the books. Audiobooks for us were a complete lifesaver. When my second child came along, and my eldest was 3 and a half when my second child was born, so there was quite a long period when my second child was napping in the afternoons. We had to have sort of designated what we called quiet time, where my eldest had, and I, or on her own, you know, had to do something quiet and calm so that the baby could sleep. And audiobooks were our lifesaver then, because it gave us a focus and a quietness and a sort of place to escape to whilst the younger one was sleeping. And, you know, I don't know, I couldn't have managed without them, I don't think. I suppose I wanted to be a bit of an advocate for audiobooks, because I've heard some people,
yes,
you know, not know how to use them. You know, they sit down with the book and look at it at the same time. And I have to say, we've never done that. We tend to have ours on in the background, which does mean you don't always hear all of the book. You know, you sort of zone in and out, but it doesn't matter, because you'll listen to it again, or, you know, you can pick up the narrative. You know, it's about enjoying it rather than it being a chore where you follow each line.
And I think it's another element that you can add to your army of activities that you do. So, you know, we're living in the 21st century and lots of people have devices in their homes and in their cars. So it's nice that you have something different that you can share. So you can have your mobile phone, you can listen now to podcasts, you can listen to audio, you can access the internet from your smartphone. Many people have those. You've got iPads and iPods, you've got, you know...
I have to say, most people who have said to me, oh yes, we do use audiobooks a bit, basically when we're on a long journey.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, of course that's great, but I would say don't just use them on long journeys, please, you know, release them into your home.
Exactly. And then have, you know, machines available in the children's rooms so that they can access and use them.
Yeah, well, funnily enough, my youngest turns 3 in a couple of weeks' time, and we've just bought her a tape deck for her birthday. Now, I know a tape deck a sort of a blast from the past, but there are technology that she can use already. She's using her sister's one. It doesn't, tapes are cheap. Tapes, you know, we're picking them up from charity shops all the time. She can do it all herself, put it in, press the button, listen, control it, and, you know, she's. I know she's going to love it because she already hogs her sister's.
And her sister will be very pleased at that too.
Exactly. Now she'll be able to listen to what she wants and not have to share it with her sister.
Yeah. No, that's been great. I've really enjoyed, Zoe, talking about audiobooks today, and I know we could talk a lot longer. I'll have to have you back on and we can talk more about audiobooks. And I know that you've given us lots of food for thought and ideas. Give us your website address again so that we can nip on over and buy too many books.
Okay, so it's www.playingbythebook.net, and my Twitter account is @playbythebook, and I'd love to see all of you over there.
Thanks for coming on the show today.
It's been a real pleasure.
I'll be right back after this short break.